Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. Remember by Avram Goldhar and today we're Sechus Ksubis Daf Kuf Yud Beis, the 13th Perek Shnei Dayanim and the final Daf of the Masechta. The Zichu Masechus Ksubis program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachazachas Torah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Chisda said, "What's the meaning of that which is written that Tenelach Eretz Chemda Nachlatzvi? I gave you a cherished land, the inheritance of a deer. Lama Eretz Yisrael Nimshalatzvi? Why is Eretz Yisrael compared to a deer? To tell you, Matzvi Ze in Oro Machazik Pesaro Af Yisrael in a Machazekas Berosel. Just as with a deer, its skin cannot contain its own flesh after it's skinned, so too with Eretz Yisrael, its borders cannot contain the abundance of its produce." Another explanation is, Matzvi kol mikol achayos af Eretz Yisrael kol mikol haratzos levashos perosel. Just as the deer is the fastest of all the animals, so too Eretz Yisrael is the fastest of all the lands in causing its fruit to ripen. Now, since one might think that just as the deer is swift and its meat is not fatty, so too Eretz Yisrael causes its fruit to ripen, but its fruit isn't rich, therefore the Torah teaches us that Eretz Yisrael is zavas chavudvash, flowing with milk and honey, which means that its fruits are shmeni machalav mesukim medvash, richer than milk and sweeter than honey. Point number two, when Rabbi Zer was going up to Eretz Yisrael, he could not find a ferry to cross the river, so he held onto a rope that was strung across the river and walked across on a narrow piece of wood. A certain Sudduki watchman said, Amma paziza tekadmisu pumaychu unaychu, O impetuous people who put your mouth before your eyes. Rashi explains that he was remarking that the Jewish people rush ahead without thinking, like when we said Nasav and Nishmet Har Sinai, committing to keep the Torah before knowing what was in it. Here too, Rabbi Zer is being rash and trying to cross a river before waiting for a boat. When he asked Rabbi Zer why he could not wait, Rabbi Zer answered, A place that Moshe and Aaron were not zochet to enter. Who says I'll be zochet to enter it if I don't do it now? The Gemara relates that Rabbi Abba, Menashe Kipidako, kissed the stones of Akko when he arrived in the land, and Rabbi Chanina used to remove obstacles from the road. Rashi explains that he loved the land so much that he went out of his way to make sure that people would not speak poorly of its roads. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi used to get up in the middle of learning and move from the sunlight to the shade in the summer, and from the shade to the sunlight in the winter. Rashi explains that they did this so they would not come to complain about the land. And point number three, the Masechta concludes on the following positive note. V'chi Barashi said in the name of Rav, Asidin kol ilani srak sh'Eretz Yisrael, sh'yitanu peros. In the future, all the barren trees that are in Eretz Yisrael are destined to bear fruit. As it says in the Pasuk, ki eitz na superior te'enu v'gefen nasnu chelam. For the tree has borne its fruit, the fig tree and grapevine have yielded their wealth. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Chisda said, what's the meaning of that which is written? That Tenelach Eretz Chemda Nachlatzvi, I gave you a cherished land, the inheritance of a deer. Lama Eretz Yisrael Nimshalatzvi, why is Eretz Yisrael compared to a deer? To tell you, Matzvi Ze in Oro Machazik Pesaro Af Yisrael in a Machazekas Berosel. Just as with a deer, its skin cannot contain its own flesh after it's skinned, so too with Eretz Yisrael, its borders cannot contain the abundance of its produce. Another explanation is, Matzvi kol mikol achayos af Eretz Yisrael kol mikol haratzos levashos perosel. Just as the deer is the fastest of all the animals, so too Eretz Yisrael is the fastest of all the lands in causing its fruit to ripen. Now, since one might think that just as the deer is swift and its meat is not fatty, so too Eretz Yisrael causes its fruit to ripen, but its fruit isn't rich, therefore the Torah teaches us that Eretz Yisrael is zavas chavudvash, flowing with milk and honey, which means that its fruits are shmeni machalav mesukim medvash, richer than milk and sweeter than honey. Point number two, when Rabbi Zer was going up to Eretz Yisrael, he could not find a ferry to cross the river, so he held onto a rope that was strung across the river and walked across on a narrow piece of wood. A certain Sudduki watchman said, Amma paziza tekadmisu pumaychu unaychu, O impetuous people who put your mouth before your eyes. Rashi explains that he was remarking that the Jewish people rush ahead without thinking, like when we said Nasav and Nishmet Har Sinai, committing to keep the Torah before knowing what was in it. Here too, Rabbi Zer is being rash and trying to cross a river before waiting for a boat. When he asked Rabbi Zer why he could not wait, Rabbi Zer answered, A place that Moshe and Aaron were not zochet to enter. Who says I'll be zochet to enter it if I don't do it now? The Gemara relates that Rabbi Abba, Menashe Kipidako, kissed the stones of Akko when he arrived in the land, and Rabbi Chanina used to remove obstacles from the road. Rashi explains that he loved the land so much that he went out of his way to make sure that people would not speak poorly of its roads. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi used to get up in the middle of learning and move from the sunlight to the shade in the summer, and from the shade to the sunlight in the winter. Rashi explains that they did this so they would not come to complain about the land. And point number three, the Masechta concludes on the following positive note. V'chi Barashi said in the name of Rav, Asidin kol ilani srak sh'Eretz Yisrael, sh'yitanu peros. In the future, all the barren trees that are in Eretz Yisrael are destined to bear fruit. As it says in the Pasuk, ki eitz na superior te'enu v'gefen nasnu chelam. For the tree has borne its fruit, the fig tree and grapevine have yielded their wealth. All right, so now it's time to go to our Siman, and our Siman for Kuf Yud Beis is a Rubik's Cube. a Rubik's Cube. So here goes. The Rubik's Cube champ could solve the puzzle while riding a deer and drinking milk with honey. Was so excited to get to the competition that he crossed a river by rope and kissed the ground, without noticing that all the barren trees were now bearing fruit that looked like Rubik's Cubes. Once again, slow motion. The Rubik's Cube champ, Rubik's Cube, that must be more Duff Kufyud Bays. The Rubik's Cube champ who could solve the puzzle while riding a deer and drinking milk with honey, which reminds us that we learned why Eretz Yisrael is compared to its Tzvi, and that its fruits are Shmeini Melchalov Umesukim Dvash, richer than milk and sweeter than honey. So the Rubik's Cube champ who could solve the puzzle while riding a deer and drinking milk with honey was so excited to get to the competition that he crossed a river by rope and kissed the ground, which reminds us that when Rabbi Zera was going up to Eretz Yisrael, he could not find a ferry to cross the river, so he held onto a rope that was strung across the river and walked across on a narrow piece of wood, which evoked a response from a Saduki, and that Rabbi Abba kissed the stones of Akka when he arrived in the land. So the Rubik's Cube champ who could solve the puzzle while riding a deer and drinking milk with honey was so excited to get to the competition that he crossed a river by rope and kissed the ground, without noticing that all the barren trees were now bearing fruit that looked like Rubik's Cubes, which reminds us that the Masechta concludes on the following positive note. Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi said, in the name of Rav, Asidin Kol Yilani Srak Shebe Eretz Yisrael Sheyetanu Peros. In the future, all the barren trees that are in Eretz Yisrael are destined to bear fruit. So once again, the Rubik's Cube champ, who could solve the puzzle while riding a deer and drinking milk with honey, was so excited to get to the competition that he crossed a river by rope and kissed the ground, without noticing that all the barren trees were now bearing fruit that looked like Rubik's Cubes. Harun Olach Maseches Ksubas. Mazel Tov, everyone, I'm being Messiah. Maseches Ksubas, Shas Katan, the 15th Masechta, in this Daf Yomi Maksar, a grand total of 111 plot, 333 points. Now organized in our mind, Daf by Daf, for efficient review and long-term retention using Simanim. May Kodesh Baruch Hu continue to bench us with Hatzlach in our learning and Chazara, and may we continue to go Machal Chal as we begin the next Masechta, Masechta Nedarim, and be Zoch to make a Kinyan on all of Shas together with Simanim. All right, so now it's time for our four Blabach Chazara, Daf Kuf Ches. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Ches is a pickpocket. So here goes. The pickpocket, that must be more Daf Kuf Ches. The pickpocket who paid off the debt of a man he was forbidden to benefit by a neder, which reminds the Gemara brings a mission from the Dorim, which states that if one's forbidden by a neder to derive benefit from his friend may contribute his maksa his shekel for him, pay off his debt, and return his lost property to him. The Gemara asks, if it's understandable that he may pay his maksa his shekel or return his lost property because he's only doing a mitzvah, how can he pay off his debt when he's benefiting him? Rav Oshi has said that the Tanna is Chanan, who holds that prevention of a loss is not considered a tangible benefit. But Rav says that the Mishnah can even be according to the view of the Rabbanan and the Mishnah, who hold the husband must pay the one who supported his wife while he was overseas, because this is a case of Shalava Menas Shuli Froa, where the debtor borrowed on the condition that he doesn't have to repay by a certain date. Rashi explains that since he can delay the payment for as long as he wants, he doesn't gain any real financial benefit through another person paying off his loan. So the pickpocket who paid off the debt of a man he was forbidden to benefit by a neder, using property that he swiped from his sister's meager support, which he did not inherit because he was a male, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Mishnah meets v'niach banim u'banos. If one died and left behind sons and daughters, when the property of the state is abundant, the sons inherit it and the daughters are supported. But when the property of the state is meager, which Rashi explains is defined by property that's not sufficient to support them, for 12 months, the daughters are supported and the sons go around begging at people's doors. But Admon says, Bishvil Shani Zachri Psadati, because I'm a male, I was out. So the pickpocket who paid off the debt of a man he was forbidden to benefit by a neder, using property that he swiped from his sister's meager support, which he did not inherit because he was a male, admitted to taking 5 empty jugs and not the 10 jugs of oil that she claimed he took. Which reminds us, Rob explains that the case in the next mission is where a plaintiff said to a defendant, I have 10 jugs of oil with you. And the defendant denied the entire claim for oil and said, I only owe you 5 jugs and I do not owe you the other 5. Admon says that the claim of 10 jugs of oil includes the jugs, and therefore the defendant made a partial admission. And since he's swearing on the remainder of the jugs, he can make him swear on the oil al yidei gilgul through the principle of a rolling oath. But the Rabbanan hold that the expression of 10 jugs of oil does not include the jugs, and therefore the defendant is not admitting to him what the plaintiff accused him of. Daf Kuf Tes. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Tes is a Hatzalah kit. So here goes. The Hatzalah member rushing with his kit. Hatzalah member with a kit? That must be one Daf Kuf Tes. That's how a member rushing with his kit to help an aging Kala, whose hair turned white, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, HaPosuk Malzcha Chasano, if one promised money to his son-in-law as a dowry, Upashat LaHaregla, and he defaulted, Teshiv Ad Shetal Bin Rosha, the Chasam may make the Kala sit until her hair turns white, until her father fulfills the pledge. But Admon says she can argue and say, Ilani Pesakti, if I promise you money on my own behalf, it would be understandable that I may be made to wait until my hair turns white. But now that my father was the one who promised it, what can I do? Okanas and Pator, either marry me or release me. So the Hatzal member rushing with his kit to help an aging Kala, whose hair turned white, stopped to calm down and aid on Ashtar, who had been told he had forfeited his right to his field, which reminds us the next Mishnah states that if one challenges the ownership of a field, but he has signed as a witness on the Shtar, Admon says that this is not to disprove his point, for he can say, Hasheni Noachli Baharishan Kashemenu, I participate in the sale because the second one, referring to the current occupant, is easier for me, and the first one is more difficult to deal with than he. But the Chachamim say, Ibed es suchuso, he has forfeited his right to the field. Rashi explains that signing the shtar is considered an admission that he has no claim to the field. So the Hatzal member rushing with his kit to help an aging Kala, whose hair turned white, stopped to calm down and aid on a shtar who had been told he had forfeited his right to his field. When someone who just returned from overseas needed to be hydrated after searching for hours unsuccessfully to find the path to his field, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one went overseas and returns to find that the path to his field is lost, meaning that one of his neighbors from the surrounding properties absorbed his path and no one remembers where the path is, Admon says, Yelcho b'ksara, he may go to his field by the shortest route, but the Chachamim say, Yikna lo derech b'mea manu, or yifrak b'avir. He must either buy for himself a path for 100 manu or else fly through the air to get to his field. Daf Kuf Yud, so the Simur Daf Kuf Yud is a gold key ceremony. So here goes. The gold key ceremony, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Yud. The gold key ceremony that was held on the Beinoni's land of the Baal Chov, who didn't have to relinquish it to his creditor, who owed him the same amount, which reminds us, more brings Malchokas, regarding what happens when two people owe each other the same amount of money, but they lack cash to repay and only have land. Rav Nachman says that they collect their payments from one another, but Rav Sheshe says, why should I switch identical bags? Meaning, what's the point of having the same payment go back and forth from one another? Rather, this one stays with his property and that one stays with his property. As part of the explanation of the Malchokas, we learn that Rav Nachman holds that Beinoni's land is assessed relative to the debtor's own property, whereas Rav Sheshes holds that it's judged relative to everyone's property in general. So the gold key ceremony that was held on the Beinoni's land of the Baal Chov, who didn't have to relinquish it to his creditor, who owed him the same amount, celebrated the extension of the town's mayor's term after his wife rejected his idea to move to a cramped city, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Shalosh Ratzos L'Nisuin, there are three provinces in Eretz Yisrael with respect to marriage, Yehuda, Eber HaYarden, and the Galil. One cannot make his wife move from a town in one province to a town in another province, or from a city in one province to a city in another province, but within the same province, one can make his wife move from town to town or city to city, but not from a town to a city or from a city to a town. The Gemara explains that a wife does not have to move from a town to a city, even though a city has everything in it, because city life is more difficult. So the gold key ceremony that was held on the Beinoni's land of the Baal Chov, who didn't have to relinquish it to his creditor, who owed him the same amount, celebrated the extension of the town's mayor's term after his wife rejected his idea to move to a cramped city. In spite of his warnings about living outside Eretz Yisrael, it was as if they worshipped idols. Which reminds that we learn, call Adar b'chutz aretz ki yu'ovid avodas kol chavim. Whoever lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's as if he worships idols. Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, so the Simur Daf Kuf Yud Aleph is a kayak. So here goes. The three-oath kayak team, that must be Ron Duff, Kuf Yud Aleph. The three-oath kayak team that was stuck for years competing in Galus, which reminds us, Rabbi Zera holds that three psukim and shir shirim represent shalosh shavuos, three oaths that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to keep the Jewish people in exile among the nations until the final redemption, and Rabbi Levi holds that there were a total of six. So the three-oath kayak team that was stuck for years competing in Galus discovered some mysterious subterranean tunnels that led to a land which reminds us that the tzaddikim buried outside of Eretz Yisrael will be zoched to resurrection through rolling, meaning their bones will roll to Eretz Yisrael and come to life there. When Abba Sal Rabba asked why they should suffer through the rolling, Abaye answered, Mechilos nasus lehem b'karka, there will be tunnels formed for the tzaddikim in the earth. Rashi explains that when they'll be resurrected, they'll stand on their feet and travel in the tunnels to Eretz Yisrael and then arise out of the ground there. So the three of kayak team that was stuck for years competing in galas discovered some mysterious subterranean tunnels that led to a land where snacks and life jackets emerged from the ground and stalks of wheat were as tall as mountains. Which reminds us, Rabbi Bar Yosef said, the soil of Eretz Yisrael is destined to produce ready-made baked goods and fine warm clothes. It was taught in the Brice, the Pasuk states, he pieces barba arts barosh harim. There will be abundant grain on the earth on the mountaintops. This means the stalk of wheat is destined to grow up straight like a palm tree until its top is so high it's level with the mountaintops. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf did we learn that when Rav Huna's many Talmidim stood up after Shir, a cloud of dust rose up to cover the light of day? That's on daf Kufvav. Good. Number 2. Which daf did we learn that one may pay the debt of someone who's forbidden to benefit from him through a nether? That's on daf Kufches. Good. Number 3. Which daf did we learn that one cannot make his wife move from a town to a city because city life is difficult? That's on daf Kuf Yud. Good. Number 4. Which daf did we learn that in the future all the barren trees in Eretz Yisrael will become abundant with fruit? That's on daf Kuf Yud Beis. Good. Number 5. Which daf did we learn that in the future the soil of Eretz Yisrael will produce stalks of wheat as tall as mountains? That's on daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Good. Number 6. Which daf did we learn why Eretz Yisrael is compared to a tzvi, a deer? That's on daf Kuf Yud Beis. Good. Number 7. Which daf did we learn that tzaddikim buried in Chutz La'aretz will get to Eretz Yisrael through subterranean tunnels? That's on daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Good. Number 8. Which daf did we learn what is done in a case when two people owe each other the same amount of money and can only pay with land? That's on daf Kuf Yud. Good. Number 9. Which daf did we learn how different Amoraim express their love of Eretz Yisrael, such as Rabbi Zera crossing a river with a rope and Rabbi Abba kissing the ground? That's on daf Kuf Yud Beis. Good. And number 10, which daf do you machok is if someone claims that another has 10 jugs of oil and the other person only admits to 5 jugs, whether that's a case of motive of mixas? That's on daf Kuf Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldthum Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.